Hallelujah. How's everybody doing? And has it been a week of joy and peace, or been a week of trials and tribulations? And you never know what you're going to get on planet Earth. And we are living in a war zone. And I want to start off this morning and read to us, remind us what Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 has to say to us this morning. Be anxious for nothing. Wouldn't it be nice just to be so laid back that you wouldn't be anxious for anything? You know, nuclear bombs going off all over, just smiling. And I, not that that's possible, but be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And so I think we all know something about anxiety. We all know a little bit about it. And but here Paul is telling us that we should cast our cares on him. Get connected to the heavenly network whenever stress comes along, when agony comes along. Get connected to the heavenly network. And because God says that we can cast our cares on him, and he'll send a guard to guard our heart. A centurion to guard my heart, a centurion of peace. So the war's raging around me, but I'm in peace. Hallelujah. I like that idea. And in the economy of God's grace, you know, we can have God's grace. We just have to ask for it. We have to believe for it. We have to step out sometimes. And when God asks us to step out, and you ever notice, is it just me that I don't always get instant answers when I pray? Anybody else? Yeah, everybody else. We don't always get instant answers, but we got to trust the Lord. So we need a little peace in between the arrival of the answer and what God's really going to do. And I noticed that we're not the only ones that don't get instant answers. And in the book of Leviticus, in chapter 24, verses 10 and 12, it says, now the son of an Israel woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel, and this Israel woman's son and the man of Israel fought each other in the camp. And the Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And so they brought him to Moses. Amen. And so, you know, there was trouble in the camp, so they brought it to Moses. And Moses said, didn't know what was going on, you know. And Moses didn't have an answer for them or what to do right away. His mother's name was Salamath, and the daughter of Debri and the tribe of Dan, and they put him in custody that the mind of the Lord might be shown to them. So they didn't know what to do with this guy. And you don't even want to read the next few verses to find out what the answer came. And But the answer came, and if Moses, who knew God face to face and was a major prophet, how much more do the minor prophets have to wait on God for the answer to come? You know, what I'm saying is God has a timing for everything. And it happened again in Numbers, and they wanted to know the mind of Christ about a situation that went on there. And, you know, to us it would not be a big deal. But in Numbers 15, 32 to 34... it says, now, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks. Could you imagine? That evil beast. I shouldn't talk like that. I'll get in trouble with the Lord. And found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron. And they all the congregation, and they put him under guard because they had not been explained what they should do, what should be done with them. And so he was put under guard until they got the mind of Christ. And here it is another example in the instant answers. And Moses didn't get instant answers. And so maybe we shouldn't expect to get them. And I know we get them sometimes. And he wasn't the only prophet that didn't get him. And I just want to read another little example of waiting on God's time in chapter 42 of Jeremiah. Verses 2 and 3 we'll start with. He said to Jeremiah the prophet, "Please let our petition be accepted to you, and pray for us to the Lord your God for all this remnant, since we are left but a few of many, as you can see." And so, you know, there were a remnant of people. They were asking Jeremiah to pray for them, that the Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk and the things we should do. Then in verse 7, the answer came, and says, "And it happened after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah." So here they were waiting on the Lord for an answer. Have you ever had to wait on the Lord for something? And some people have been waiting 20 years for an answer. Hallelujah. And just to change the subject for a sec, when Pastor Sunil was talking about a group of people and he saw their hair waving in the wind, I said, "Well, that vision never included me." Unless it was a long, long time ago when I had hair that would blow in the wind. Yeah. Yeah, it's always been a dream of mine. I love you too, bro. So back to the subject here, that we don't get instant answers from the Lord. We have to wait on God. And I think the best way to get an answer about divine things and to understand things that are spiritual things is that we have to spend time in prayer with the Lord. And the Lord brings us the answer as we spend time with Him. Amen. And what I'm trying to say is, if the major prophets couldn't get an instant answer from God, maybe it's a gross presumption to think that a minor prophet could get things at his own will. You know, wouldn't that be nice? "Oh Lord, I got 15 minutes available between such and such a time. Would you please give me a fill me up with?" Amen. Doesn't work that way. But we wait on God, and God comes in our time. And in the meanwhile, Paul tells us, don't be anxious for anything. Get connected to the heavenly network. And that's what that's his instructions to us. And get connected to the heavenly network. And I'll give you peace in your heart to guard against, hallelujah, the anxiety that's attacking you. And come on, it's easy to get caught up in anxiety. Is there anyone here that hasn't been? Please stand up. Amen. You know, because we've all been caught up in anxiety at one time or another. We've all know what it is to be stressed out and overwhelmed. But Paul's saying to us, pray about your stress. Pray about your anxiety. And you know, here's what we all do. We pray about this thing. We give it to God, and then we take it back. We give it to God, and then we take it back. Amen. That's a normal practice. But what we're doing when we're giving it to God is that we're transferring our problem over into God's hands. And I like what Paul says. Paul says, you pray about it. Let God worry about it. That's a good prescription. I like that. And, we'll pray about it. And hopefully it's the Lord who will worry about it for us. We want to transfer our problems, our anxiety. We want to shed them. We want to transfer them over to God. And that's what kind of prayer we need. And prayer that'll transfer our ownership of the situation to God. And we all know it's easier said than done. And here's the hardest part about shedding your anxiety about something. This is the hardest part. We have to let go of our agenda and the thing that's troubling us when we pray about it. And if we're willing to let go of our agenda and give it over to God and let God work it out any way he pleases, and you know God always does great work, way better work than I could ever do or that any of us could ever do. And so we want to relinquish and let go of our agendas in the situation and give it to God. It seems scary because we're letting go of our control. Truth is, we don't have any control. If you think about it, well, we're not really have a lot of control anyway. And so if you're in a difficult trial, try to let go of your goals in it. And the your ownership and transfer it over to God and let God worry about it. You know, there's a saying we used to have around here, and it still belongs to us, is that God gives his very best to those who leave the choices with him. Hallelujah. And God always gives us his very best. And so I have anxiety, and sometimes I get a false sense of, well, I can't let go of this because I got to manipulate this over here, or I got to manipulate this over here so everything works out the way I want it to. But the manipulation part is up to God. It's not up to us. And we have to leave it in his hands. And like I said earlier about the economy of his grace, it comes to us when we ask for it, when we believe for it, and when we step out, when the Lord asks us to. And we don't get instant answers. And so we might have a little anxiety. You know, don't you love it when the Lord gives you a sign? Takes all the stress and strain out of the circumstance you're in. You know, Noah let a dove go out the window of the ark. He was hoping that the waters were receding. He was looking for a visible sign. He was looking for a sign that would, the dove came back that evening, wore out, and Noah brought him into the ark, and he waited 7 days. He never got a sign. He wasn't encouraged by that, and he waited 7 days, and he sent the dove out again, and that evening, the dove came back with olive branches in his beak. Amen. And he got a visible sign that encouraged him. And but what I want to say here is, whether you get a sign from God or whether you don't, it's an awesome thing to trust God in your circumstances. And